Yes.
Yes, of course, Paul. Got it. Clearly, I can't go on sinning because I died to sin. Whoa. Whoa, whoa, hold up a second there, Paul. What did you just say? What's this about Christians having died to sin? When exactly did that happen? And what on earth does it mean? If that's how you reacted when you heard that verse, then it worked exactly as Paul intended. He meant it to shock and surprise. See, this idea that we died to sin is a completely new idea in Romans, and it comes flying in right out of the blue. Paul hasn't said anything remotely like it in the entire book, and yet, here he just tosses it out on the table. As a Christian, you have already died to sin. We're supposed to hear that idea, do a double take, and think, what an incredible thing to say. What do you mean, Paul? How have we died? When did we die? Is that just a metaphor or a rhetorical flourish? Is it just an illustration that maybe went a little too far? What do you mean we have died? Over the next few verses, Paul pulls back the veil a little more. So in verses 3 and 4, he makes it clear when this dying to sin happened. It was when we were baptized. In other words, when we became believers in Jesus and declared to the world that we are with him. Just by the way, Paul isn't making an argument here that baptism is necessary for salvation, or that it actually in any way does the saving. He's just pointing to it as the beginning point, the starting gun, so to speak, for the Christian life. When you're baptized as a believer, you're saying publicly to heaven and to hell and to all the world, this is where I plant my flag. I am with King Jesus now. Anyway, Paul says that's when it happened. That's when you died to sin, when you became a Christian. And look how he defines the nature of that dying at the end of verse 3. What he means by saying you died is that you were baptized into his death. In verse 4, he gets even more specific. When you were baptized, you were buried with him by baptism into death. Now, pause and think about this for a second, because it's a deep and profound truth. When you became a Christian and entered into a relationship with Jesus, when you proclaimed to the world by baptism that you are now with him, God created a union between you and Jesus, so close, so intimate, and so vital, that what happened to him can also be said to have happened to you. He died, and you died. He was raised from the dead, and you were raised to newness of life, and will be raised from the dead on the last day. Here's how Paul joyously describes this truth in verse 5. Finally holding the entire thing up like an artist unveiling his finished work. If we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. The crucial word in that verse is united, and it literally means grown together. Originally, it's a word from horticulture, and it refers to what happens when you graft a branch onto a vine. In time, the branch grows together with the vine until it is united in every way with its new plant. That's what your relationship with Jesus is like, Paul says. You are united to him like a branch to a vine, such that there is a vital, intimate, and living union between you and him. Saul, why are you persecuting me? If you think about it,